KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies and 49 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms today, a high of 63. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV, satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Well, the honor flight from Central Iowa earlier this month that made national news as aging World War II veterans bypassed barricades and visited Washington, D.C. monuments that were closed by the federal government shutdown. And even if the shutdown continues, another round of charter flights will be flown later this month focusing on Korean War veterans. Bill Williams is helping to organize two flights for more than 230 veterans from Iowa and Nebraska out of the Omaha airport.
We are going no matter what. We have a Silver Star, several hand-to-hand combat, a guy who had his legs blown off in Korea. The park police are no match for this crew, trust me.
He says the veterans on these charter trips will see what they want to see, and he jokes they'll be prepared to cut through any chain-link fences that may block their way.
They've closed the restrooms at the World War II Memorial, so that is an issue. And the Lincoln Memorial's closed. You can't go see it. It's a shame, but doesn't matter. We're going. Wire cutters in hand.
Williams saw the media coverage of the other veterans groups last week as they made their way into the memorials that were dedicated in their honor, even though the areas were supposed to be closed to the public.
That's so ridiculous anyway, because they're open-air memorials, but they're just trying to inflict as much pain on people to put pressure on, so that's all it's about.
Previous honor flights from Omaha have focused more on the older veterans.
We did 7 World War II flights in 2008, 2009, and 1,500 World War II vets had the opportunity to go see the World War II Memorial. So this is the first attempt to do something for the Korea veterans, and the ones who did receive the invitation are so excited, and just a wonderful opportunity for them in their twilight years to have an experience like this.
The flights are scheduled for October 29th for about 140 Nebraska Korean War veterans, and on October 30th for about 100 Iowans who served in Korea. Williams says both flights will follow the same schedule out of Omaha.
We'll depart at 6 a.m., arrive at Dulles Airport at 9:30. We'll bus to the Korean Memorial, the Vietnam Wall, and the Lincoln Memorial. Then we will stop at World War II and Arlington for Tomb of the Unknowns, drive around town so they can see the White House and a few other buildings. Final stop will be the Marine Corps Memorial.
The flights should arrive, get the veterans back to Omaha at around midnight, and Williams hopes these are the first of many honor flights for our state's Korean War heroes. News time is 8:02.
Hey, did you catch that game last night?
No, please don't tell me anything about it. I haven't had time to find the replays on the internet. We had to go to Parents' Night last night.
You know, if you had the Hopper from Dish, you would have watched it as soon as you got home and even skipped the commercials.
I guess I'll have to stop into the TV store and see about getting hooked up with a Hopper from Dish so I never have to miss the game again.
Well, I'm headed home, and by the way, the score of the game was 43-14.
Hey!
If this sounds like something that has happened to you, stop into the TV store and check out Dish for your home. The TV store is your locally owned, authorized Dish retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call 243-3032 or visit our website at thetvstoreinc.com. Get more at the TV store.
Features must be enabled by customer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Well, a pretrial hearing for a former Western Iowa music teacher accused of sexual exploitation is set to take place this morning in Harlan. 72-year-old Lee Nelson worked for the Harlan Community School District for 35 years. He was arrested in July on charges of sexual exploitation by a school employee and assault with intent to commit sexual abuse. Authorities say a 17-year-old has accused Nelson of committing the act while Nelson mentored the teenager between October of 2012 and April of 2013. He's pled not guilty to the charges. Nelson resigned from his position at the high school this April, and according to the Iowa Board of Educational Examiners, Nelson voluntarily surrendered his license earlier this year. His trial is set for October 29th. In other news, Republican Congressman Steve King is striking back at Democratic Senator Tom Harkin for suggesting King is wrong to suggest the October 17th debt limit date is a fiction.
I hope Tom Harkin understands when we reach the debt limit, that doesn't mean default. Default on our debt would be if we failed to service our debt, which requires that we pay the interest, and then at a minimum roll over the principal of our debt, which means we could borrow money from the Saudis to pay off Chinese bonds, vice versa, or we could borrow money from the American people to pay off bonds from Saudi Arabia or China.
Argan said last Thursday it is bizarre for King to suggest the president has the authority to reorder federal spending plans, pay the interest on the national debt, and put off repayment of bonds. That would be like telling creditors to take a hike, according to Harkin. King accuses Harkin of injecting a fear factor into the debate, and King argues Americans are paying enough taxes for the federal government to cover the interest on the debt.
We're spending about 8% of our cash flow, of our revenue stream, on interest. That's roughly $18 billion a month. We've got some $240 billion or so a month coming in. We're a long ways from defaulting on our debt.
King, though, says Congress cannot go indefinitely without voting to raise the so-called debt ceiling unless there are significant cuts to the federal budget.
But reaching the date of October 17th is not a drop-dead date. It is not a default date. It's just a date that the government, the Obama administration, has said that they think they run out of borrowing capacity.
King cites last week's analysis from Moody's, a credit rating agency, that concludes the U.S. government would continue to pay interest and principal on its debt, even if Congress fails to raise the debt limit. King says the debt limit is an effective check and balance Congress can use to influence the president to make concessions. Also in state news, the partial federal government shutdown is preventing farmers in northwest Iowa from getting needed assessments of crop damage from last week's tornadoes. As many as 9 storms crisscrossed the region on October the 4th, flattening thousands of acres of corn and soybeans in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. The Sioux City Journal reports workers in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency have been idled by the partial federal government shutdown. A damage assessment by the FSA is one of the first steps for farmers who sustained losses to qualify for low-interest emergency loans or debris removal assistance. Iowa state officials say farmers should contact their local FSA offices and follow the usual damage reporting process once the government reopens. Volunteers are sought to help the city of Belmont clean up after a tornado damaged homes, businesses, and farming operations in June. Cleanup has been delayed by wet ground in the areas near the east branch of the Iowa River. Mason City Globe Gazette reports the cleanup effort is scheduled for 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. next Saturday. Volunteers will meet at the former Cattleman's Restaurant site on U.S. Highway 69. The cleanup effort will focus on the debris left in a pasture, a wooded area, and the east branch of the Iowa River. A tornado touched down the afternoon of June the 12th just outside of Belmont, destroying Cattleman's steak and provisions. Volunteers will be moving debris out of the wooded area and onto trucks. A police officer for the city of Sloan has been hospitalized after his car hit a light pole and flipped over as he was responding to a call. Sioux City police say 45-year-old Brent Vanderweel lost control of his patrol car just before 3 a.m. Saturday in Sioux City. Vanderweel lives in Sioux City but is an officer with a police department in Sloan, which is about 20 miles to the south. He was responding to a report of a drunken driver. Sioux City police say Vanderweel's car flipped onto its side and he was partially ejected. He was taken to the hospital, but police say his injuries are not considered to be life-threatening. Bullying prevention will again be a key issue for Governor Terry Branstad this fall. The governor's push for anti-bullying legislation meant to help school districts combat harassment on social media sites failed during the last legislative session. In a few weeks, Branstad will host a second bullying summit in Des Moines. The event will feature panels with students, educators, and lawmakers who will discuss how to make kids feel safe at school. Headlining the program will be journalist Emily Bazelon with the author of The Sticks and Stones, Defeating the Culture of Bullying and Rediscovering the Power of Character and Empathy. Branstad's Special Assistant for Education, Linda Fendel, said the focus of the gathering this year was on practical steps that students, educators, and parents can take to prevent bullying. And the Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will meet this evening in the Media Center at the high school. During their 7:30 p.m. session, the board will hear special presentations from School Resource Officer and Cass County Deputy Corey Larson, Eric Miller with regard to case curriculum, and Design Alliance Architect Jerry Purdy with regard to progress on the middle school renovations. The board is also slated to take action on an electric bid for the AHS Auditorium Light System, a concrete bid for the preschool playground at the Washington School, and a carpet bid for the Schuler S&P room and other administrative matters. Discussion items near the end of their meeting will cover district goals for 2013 through 2019 and bonding for capital projects. Taking a look at world headlines, investors are fidgety today as the Thursday deadline to increase the U.S. government debt ceiling gets closer. Negotiations between Republicans and Democrats over the weekend failed to resolve the debt ceiling crisis or end the partial government shutdown. Stock markets are down today in Germany and France, but are slightly higher in Britain. Dow and S&P futures are down, but Wall Street is closed for the Columbus Day holiday. Commuters in the San Francisco Bay Area are able to take the train today, but it could be a different story tomorrow. The unions for the transit workers decided to postpone a strike by one day as they continue to negotiate a workers' contract. Negotiators have said both sides have made enough progress, but the unions warn they could strike after midnight tonight if no agreement is reached. News time is 8:10.
Honey, don't forget, Jesse from the TV store is coming to install Dish today.
Oh, yeah. When's he going to be here? Between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.?
No, he's actually supposed to be here right... The TV store is your locally owned, authorized Dish retailer. They provide superior customer service and know how to be on time. Jesse and Al are their only installers, so you know who's going to be coming to your house, not some stranger from the city. At the TV store, your local authorized Dish retailer, you get all the same deals that you would get by calling the 1-800 number without automated systems or hold times. And yes, they have the hopper. If you're fed up with your current television provider or want to know about the latest technologies Dish has to offer, go check out the TV store, your local authorized Dish retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give them a call at 243-3032. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Richard Dale Carl, age 87, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing and Rehab Center in Erling. Services for Richard Carl will be this morning at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. William Willie Triddle IV, age 30, of Milford and formerly of Orient, died Friday in Milford. Funeral services for Willie Triddle IV will be held on Wednesday at 3 o'clock at the Orient United Methodist Church, with a luncheon immediately following the service. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.